Shop with Rakuten and you'll get it. What's it? It's the best deal, the highest cash back, the most savings on your shopping. So join Rakuten and start getting cash back at Nike, Expedia, Bloomingdale's, and other stores you love. You can even stack sales on top of cash back. Just start your shopping with Rakuten to save money at over 3,500 stores. Join for free at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are here once again. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hello.
How's it going?
Did you remember the amount, by the way, Sean, after you say, because every week you say the amount.
Yeah.
And it just goes out of my head.
Oh, it goes out of my head. It's written down on a piece of paper in front of me.
I'm trying to remember the amount. Hang on, it's like a cognitive test.
It's actually on two pieces of paper there.
Now I know what it is.
No, but you wouldn't want to, because I did it once. I got it wrong.
Oh.
I got the amount wrong. And it was like 91,476 cent. One of those complicated ones. Yeah. And I think I got the cent for. Oh my God, you think I.
Ructions.
I did that on the lotto once. Absolutely. And it's very dangerous because you got the numbers wrong. Very bad. Very bad.
You got the lottery numbers wrong.
Just the last two. I swept the last two numbers.
Okay, well,
so, you know, I could have made up the difference myself out of my own.
Yeah.
Taxi fare.
But it's still very
bad. I got slapped. That's very bad.
Right. I have a very difficult relationship with my mother, and I can't bear to be faced with all the fake outpouring of love that is the charade around Mother's Day. I feel guilty even complain because I know it's a really hard day for many people who've lost their mothers. But my own mam makes my life so difficult. She's a narcissist.
And so am I.
And let's try to turn my own children and partner against me over the years. She's manipulative and always makes me feel guilty for not seeing her more when I call her 3 times a week and I try to have her for dinner at least once a month. Since I became a mother myself, I've never been allowed to have a Mother's Day celebration of my own because she always makes it about her. I'm one of 4 children, but the only daughter, and the expectations for me to bend over backwards are so much more. I've tried to distance myself from her in order to protect my own family, but she always drags us back in. I know she's lonely and vulnerable, but she's made my life so stressful and has never been the kind of mom I needed. How do I get through the day without the usual hysterics? And it's not clear if it's from this person who wrote the letter or from the mother. The hysterics, that is.
Oh, I see what you mean. That's yeah. The letter. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I would imagine it's from the narcissistic mother. But again, we don't know that for sure. This is tough, but I wouldn't imagine it's something that's that unusual. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't have the type of relationship with their mothers or indeed with their fathers than that they would like to have. And so that's kind of not that unusual. But the thing about Mother's Day is, you know, that she says it in the first line, it's all about a charade. It's all about a show. There's nothing kind of substantial in Mother's Day. There's nothing kind of cultural or even historic about it. It is just purely a load of commercial nonsense to make you spend money. So my advice to this woman is to recognise that Mother's Day isn't real. To recognise that. Now, if your mother's a narcissist and you do want a quiet life and she wants a fuss, probably if you can suck it up for the day and just do whatever it is, dance to whatever tune that your mother would like you to sing on the day to show your love and all the rest of it is fine. But don't get that mixed up in your head with the marking of your own Mother's Day, if that's what you want with your kids. In other words, if you are somebody who likes Mother's Day and likes to maybe in some way celebrate. I mean, to me, for all the years when I had small kids, Mother's Day for me was just another day, along with St. Bridget's Day and Nullag na mBan and my birthday and various other days where I just didn't cook. And it was like, kitchen's closed, I'm not doing any cooking. And that was me happy. So, but if you want to celebrate being a mother, do it with your own kids on another day so that you don't have the two things kind of colliding in your own head. The other thing which I did think is that, like, she's calling her mother 3 times a week. And considering that's not doing her mental health a whole lot of good, and she's not enjoying it, that's a lot, I think, of calling. And I think just because you're in the habit of doing that now doesn't mean you can't change it. So I would suggest maybe diluting that a little bit. And you can, as your kids, I mean, I don't know what age your kids are, But, you know, you can use your kids as an excuse. Oh, sorry, Mom, I never got to call you on Wednesday or whatever day you normally call her because I had to take Johnny here to football and then we ran late and then we met so-and-so and yada yada. I would just start to dial that back a little bit for your own peace of mind. Yeah, that's really about it. I did look up where Mother's Day came from because I thought, you know, the way there's this kind of thing abroad where it was set up by Hallmark or somebody to, as a commercial thing. But it was actually, according to an article in the Washington Post, it was actually created by an American woman called Anna Jarvis to celebrate the service that mothers give to humanity. And she was horrified that within a few years it became this commercial kind of thing. And she fought for the rest of her life against the commercialization of Mother's Day. She wrote to the president. She did a whole load of things to try and demonstrate her objection to the fact that this this day was kind of railroaded.
Being cannibalized.
That's cannibalized. What happened. So it's kind of like Alfred Nobel, sort of similar thing.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. He invented dynamite.
Did he?
And then, you know, regretted it afterwards.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, well, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah.
The Oppenheimer vibe as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, this is an interesting one because, yes, I heard what you said about lots of people have less than ideal or kind of textbook or, you know, kind of Disneyfied relationships with their parents. But when these days come around, the spotlight is on the perfection of the mother-child relationship and it's on everybody to kind of, you know, get involved with the pantomime of the day, regardless of whether or not you think it's not real or whether you think it's a commercialized hype and all that kind of stuff. Much in the same way that, you know, Christmas exists in our culture. It kind of exists and people participate for various reasons. So therefore, it's happening, whether you like it or not. And with Mother's Day, I understand what you're saying about trying to separate your own relationship with your kids and celebrate your motherhood separately. But on the day, to kind of give away to somebody else, it's particularly because this woman has used the word narcissist to describe her mother. And that, to me, conjures up lots of kind of ways in which the mother behaves, which triggers the daughter. So the mother behaves in certain ways and the daughter responds. And a lot of narcissists cultivate a certain kind of response in their children, which is to react.
And the
daughter's kind of helpless in this instance. She's kind of reacting to her mum's nonsense. And then it's upsetting her, and then it happens again because that's the cycle of that dynamic. Because for a child, you can't uncouple yourself easily from your parents, and so she's known that kind of cycle all of her life. She's trying to distance herself from it, but on this one day when, you know, if
she can't, but that's why I was saying to maybe move her own Mother's Day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
but I think that's to give away to, I think that's giving away to,
you know,
the narcissist.
No, it's not really, because to move yourself out of everybody going for lunch on Mother's Day and all the restaurants being full of families with young kids and bunches of flowers and all, it's actually much nicer if you do it.
No, I accept that completely. But the point is if you feel that you are sacrificing your own participation in a kind of a societal scenario where you're a mother too, because you're giving way to your narcissist mother, you're just adding, in my view, adding fuel to that fire.
I think it's a survival mechanism. If you can say to your mother, okay, you have Mother's Day, if that's going to make you happy, Mother's Day will literally be just you and be your big narcissist self and do whatever it is that is annoying her. And then I'm going to celebrate with my family 2 weeks later in the nice, quiet.
As long as that action, in my view, that action has to be owned by the person doing it. They're going they describe it as a kind of a boundary to say, this is my boundary.
Yeah.
Beyond this, you will not come. And I'm going to indulge the world
That's
in Mother's
it.
Day and, you know, pay homage to the idea of this and blah, blah, blah. It seems a lot of acting.
What's the alternative?
To create, if your mum's overstepping the boundaries and not making you very comfortable, you need to build bigger boundaries.
Right.
The boundaries have to get better because...
But if the mother says, it's Mother's Day and I'm coming to lunch, like she always comes to lunch in your house or go out for dinner and you make a big fuss with the mother and she wants a present and all, how do you do that?
But then again, it's about sometimes it has to be, you're not going to be the mother of the day today. Okay. Somebody else is going to be the mother of the day, and that's me. So maybe one of my other siblings is going to take you out to wherever you want to go.
But she says she's the only daughter.
Isn't that? There's a whole lot in there as well.
There's no mention of a father here. So I'm thinking maybe she's a widow.
She says she's lonely as well.
Isn't it though? I mean, when you say setting up boundaries, that's all fine and well, but like, people reach a point past which they're never going to learn a different way to behave.
Yeah, right.
And they'll always see a boundary setting as an attack, and it turns into World War III.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. But unfortunately, what that means is that the sins of the parents are always living with the child, because the child is the one that has to deal with it all the time.
If you just let her off with it and just let it all wash over your Mother's Day and put your own Mother's Day somewhere else away from that, so it won't be contaminated by that, I think that's in order to survive this. I think
as long as it's understood very clearly that this is what you are doing for yourself,
you're very happy to do it, as opposed to I have to let her away with it again this time. The thing which you just said, I think was you said it, about she's the only girl. I mean, very often that is an issue. I was an only girl. But I think every so often you've got to pick up the phone to one of your brothers and say, listen, Fred, do you know, I'm done, or I want to do something different this Mother's Day, and would you please take her? Just because you're the only daughter doesn't mean you have to roll over and do what is expected, in inverted commas.
That's kind of where I've gone with that.
I bet you the three, her male siblings have partners going, I'm not going over to that wagon on Mother's Day. Exactly. I'm my own mother.
Or even I'm the mother in the scenario. And this is the problem, is that, you know, but you just have to try to just push. Mm. I think the boundary just needs to be built up. And
One texter says, that poor woman. My mother is a narcissist.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm sending her something in the post for Mother's Day. My mother, not your letter writer. I avoid phone calls and generally meeting her. At a push, I'll have her to my place when it's on my terms, and preferably with all or even some of my brothers and sisters to dilute her. I won't go to hers anymore because the controlling is just too much. There's somebody else suggests that woman needs to get away with her siblings and buy the annoying mother a night away or afternoon tea for her and a friend. They look generous, but get out of her hair at the same time. That's if she has any friends.
Yeah, true.
That could be an issue. I'm newly single. After being in a long-term relationship for nearly a decade, I've been enjoying going on dates and getting wined and dined. But to be honest, haven't really had a connection with anyone besides one guy I met recently. We've been on two dates, and I know the sexual chemistry is there, but he has alluded to having a very adventurous and kinky side, mentioning threesomes and one-night stands a couple of times. Ooh. To be honest, I'm not looking for anything too serious after coming out of such a long relationship, so I'm ready to just have a bit of fun. But he's been so open about having a pretty wild sex life, and definitely more partners than me. Would it be rude of me to ask him to take an STD test before I sleep with him? We've got the third date coming up, and I know the expectations around sex and the third date. How should I approach it? I don't want to come off like a prude.
Oh, I'm a prude. I'm sitting this out. Off you go, Declan. Off you go.
I love the way you know.
This is much more your Bailey than mine, I reckon.
I haven't had one for days.
Sorry, you know, that Mickey doesn't look right to me.
This is a funny one, isn't it? Because on one level, you know, I really respect this woman for recognizing that she's totally entitled to explore her own sexuality without it having to be this kind of serious kind of whatever. And that's all great and fine. But at the same time, she's kind of, you know, quite rigid about certain things, like, she doesn't have to have sex because it's the third date. I mean, you know, she's talking about the third date as if it's...
Well, maybe she wants to have sex.
No, yeah, that's fine. And if that's what the case is, then that's exactly...
Isn't that the convention, though?
What are you asking me for?
I haven't read Gunrock and Aaron. I don't know exactly what it says.
A woman's place is in the home, but to have sex on the third date.
I'm not quite sure about that. But I do know that, you know, consent involves actual consent. And, you know, if you're into it and you're ready for it, that's great. And I think you should always be considering whether or not, you know, your sexual health could be damaged by any interaction that you get involved with. So it's not prudish, it's intelligent. Let me put it another way. If you were signed up as a porn actress, it would be part of your contract to get an STD check from all the people that you were going to be participating with. And that's kind of like at the most, you know...
The hard end.
the hard end of the shtick.
Boom, boom.
From that point of view, you know, if that's the case and that's if that's the kind of non-prudish way to approach the topic, then you're completely within your rights to suggest...
So she's going to compare him to a porn actor?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's like if this is just a bit of fun...
Yeah,
I think that the attitude should be that it should be consensual, of course, but it should also should be self-protective. That and you know,
but even if it wasn't a bit of fun, like that doesn't make any difference, does it? Even
how do you mean?
If she was in this guy
really
for the
loved
long
him, she'd catch his STD. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I mean, either
I
way,
I love you
she
and your chlamydia.
Yeah.
No, of course, yeah. Well, of course, but the point is, she has reservations about how serious this relationship is going to be. She's talking about this as in, you know, this
the
is
context
a bit of sexual
of his threesomes and
she's kind of being a little bit judgy about what he's like.
I don't think she's being judgy. She just told us
she's just into it for the ride. Is basically what she told me, and I'm going. Yeah. Well, that's okay and that's fine, but protect yourself. It's fine to go into it just for the ride as long as you protect yourself. That's
well,
what I'm saying.
As somebody who was born back in the year dot and hasn't been out and about for a long time, are threesomes kind of now kind of fairly... Sean doesn't know.
Yeah, don't be looking at me. I don't know. No, I mean, I'd like one night stands. He was going like,
oh, that's fine.
They
were always there.
They were always there.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think the reality of it is that when somebody is just, you know, there for a bit of fun, it's likely that they're going to meet people who were just there for a bit of fun and their attitude might be to have a lot of fun. So this guy's perspective might be...
But they don't really necessarily meet trees.
No, I mean, unless your man is... He's brought this up more than once. So maybe this is kind of a serving suggestion. On his part.
And she's kind of looking at the picture and kind of thinking...
She's being right.
She's thinking about
Could she not just get him to wear a condom? Or do we have to, you know... Because if she brings it up during the third date, you know, he's got, what, do I get it now? I mean, I don't think this restaurant provides that service.
Okay, of course. But it's about stuff like that. She's thinking... I'm trying to explain that her perspective is slightly prudish because she's been a little bit kind of... what's the word? Innocent compared to this other person's seeming.
I just think she's being sensible.
To ask for an STD test.
Is that not sensible? I don't know. I don't know what the protocol is. I mean, maybe if it was just a one night stand, like as you say, condoms would be the way to go.
Yeah.
And they are very useful in protecting you from most STDs.
But not all.
There's
a couple of bits that you can get.
If anyone listening, like, how do you go about bringing this up then? What's the protocol? She's obviously going to have to mention this beforehand.
The reason why I mentioned porn actors is because if you're entering into a scenario that's just about the sex, it's just about a laugh, and there's no emotional connection or whatever it is, then in that context, it seems completely kind of almost blasé to go, let's talk about sexual health. Have the conversation. You don't need to have a certificate.
But I mean, if he's talking about having his threesomes and lots of one-night stands and loads of partners, then I think it's kind of like it would be the next kind of, it would be the logical next step that she would bring that up in that context. And did you know, because again, I did Google, I was very googly this morning, you can get free STD tests to do at home from the HSE.
Yes.
So, like,
I heard that.
It's not like he has to go and make an appointment
to
take time
off. She orders one and she brings one. I mean, but you have to send it away.
Of course. But it's all about stigma as well. The stigma of having an STD is like ridiculous as well. So, the reason why I'm having the conversation is that if you want to be like, no commitment required.
No strings.
Thank you. My brain just went
there. Might be a few frills, but if your man likes them.
Yeah, and a whip and a chain and whatever. Yeah. If it's going to be like no strings attached, you can approach that situation with like self-respect, and it doesn't have to be this kind of shade, let's get locked first.
There's an element of trust though that you need, don't you, that he will do that and tell you the right thing, that he won't just say, yeah, I did when I'm grand.
Yeah.
Like, do you look for proof then?
And are they exclusive at this point? And if they're not exclusive at this point, could he have go and get a test of a Tuesday and he's all got the all clear, but then he sleeps with somebody else on a Thursday, then he dates her on a Friday and he's riddled with disease at
which
that point.
Which is why the most successful, you know, regardless of what form of infection you've got and all that kind of thing, the best way to protect yourself is to protect yourself. You know? And also by the way, is to protect yourself, is to be there in the moment, not taking somebody's word for it.
Oh, yes.
Is to go, I'm not going to engage this. You know, use a condom, whatever it is that you're going to do with whoever you're going to do it. It's not about their word. It's about you managing the situation. Because even with the best intentions, you can still, you know,
Can we ask our listeners, who are obviously much more informed than I am, is threesomes like a general kind of like something?
Yeah, okay.
I want to know that myself.
Yeah. 087-1400-106. Please text Barbara. In with your threesome information. Yeah, how it works?
I know how it works.
Well, no, but is it two fellas and a girl, two girls and a fella?
Oh, right, yeah,
you know, I'm intrigued by that. It's a threesome. Is there one like standing off, you know? Looking at their Instagram for a minute, you know, start naked, and then the other one goes, your turn.
How does it happen, like a threesome? I understand meeting one other person that you fancy and are attracted to, and you have a one-night stand, but like a threesome...
Have you never heard the meme where it's like, my girlfriend and I have seen you across the bar, and we really like your vibe?
No.
You're not going to the same bar as I am.
Clearly
okay, this
not.
Happens to... Yeah.
Happens but like, I'm not leery. What?
Can I just say, I want to say something really important is that if there's certain STDs and diseases like, for example, HIV, which if somebody's on medication, you can't transfer them on to another partner. So there's a lot in the whole area that requires you being informed. And half of self-preservation is about being informed.
Yes.
And knowing. And
wasn't
not being approved.
It's much easier in our day, thanks be to God Almighty.
God saves tonight, yeah.
Not for everybody.
Just get drunk and hope for the best.
That was true, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Laura says, you're not approved. Absolutely ask about STD screening if he's screening. Yes. If he's forthcoming with information about his previous sex life, he'll have more respect for you. If he doesn't move on, it shows maturity and intelligence. Yes. Somebody else says, tell that girl to run. And they put that in capital letters. With my wife 13 years, she asked me to get a test at the start. Funnily enough, she didn't take one.
Double standards there.
So would that not be a good way that, like, we get a his and hers test and then maybe they go together?
But you know,
it'd be a fun date.
Absolutely. But what that story tells me is that it's somebody protecting themselves. They're going, well, I need to know about your health status because I'm already aware of my own. It's somebody else's responsibility to find out about yours. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're going to be going into a situation and protecting yourself. So I would want to know about my partner, not my own, because I know my own. Do you know what I mean? When this person's wife was asking, she knew what her own status was.
Yeah.
She's also assumed that you know.
Everyone is overthinking this. Haven't put a Johnny on. End of story. But that doesn't protect you against everything.
But I mean, it's a very useful, most things. Very smart way to...
It should be a given that it's okay to ask a partner when the last STD test was. For your information, it takes 3 months following exposure for HIV to show up in a test. If your man is open about his sex life, as he sounds, then he should be open to discuss the precaution he takes and any tests he's had or is willing to have.
Yeah.
If he has an open lifestyle without being able to discuss this stuff, then run.
That's what I'm saying is that if you want to be, you know, all kind of, you know, no strings, it comes, but it does actually come with strings and it's
you
to
can't be no
responsible.
Strings.
But then if your man is like heading into a threesome, then like, you know, you're looking for triplicate amounts of information presumably from all parties. That's a lot of bureaucracy in advance.
Yeah. At least it's not a racket. We can't say it's a racket from the HSE because they're doing it for free.
Yeah, are they? Okay.
Yeah,
that's
so it's free. So it isn't a racket. Okay, you know, they're not making any money on it.
All right. So if you see three people standing outside a HSE office, you know,
that's
you know
what they're, the
you know what they're
and
planning.
It's like, and the more people that know their status, the safer the world is. And one of the really bad side effects of what Trump is doing in America with taking away funding is that it's affecting, you know, whether it's in Africa or you know, other countries where stopping the development of viruses spreading is more important than having some kind of like, you know, let's not talk about sex. We're Christians. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Although maybe on the other side of the debit and credit side, we won't be producing Viagra for much longer either here.
So it seems.
We'll
all have a lot more time in our hands.
Exactly.
Cheery note, Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.